Genesis chapter 3, please. And the words of verse 9. Genesis 3, verse 9, it says, "And the Lord God called unto Adam, and said unto him, Where art thou?" So it's really those three words at the end of the verse I want to emphasize. Pray the Lord will speak through them right upon every heart tonight. The question asked, and I'd like you to take the question and apply it to your own life. Ask it tonight in your own heart, where art thou? Especially in the things of God. It is a very, very important question, as it's recorded for us here in the scriptures. When we lived in Wales, we were encouraged by the fellowship of some other ministers. The Lord in his providence brought them across our paths. They were a blessing to us as strangers living in a different land. One of the ministers that I'm thinking about tonight, he took time every day to write what was known as a journal. I want to point out to you that there is a difference between a diary and a journal. Sometimes you might use the words synonymously or interchangeably, but there is a noted difference between the two. A diary is generally a record, just a simple record of facts and events that have taken place in your life. But a journal is more than that. It goes much further. A journal is a record of your thoughts and of your feelings. Especially for a Christian, a journal is an account of their condition on that day, at that time, before God. It used to be a common thing for Christians to keep a journal. If you look in the Christian bookshops, you'll see that men like Henry Martin, the missionary, John Newton, John Wesley, George Whitfield, even in more recent times, Jim Elliot, the missionary to South America, they all kept up the practice of writing a journal. And most of the names that I just mentioned to you, you can actually still buy their journals. The publishing houses have put them into print. And it's very profitable to read their thoughts, their observations about the state of their heart and about their walk with God at that particular time. So, I emphasize this morning the importance of reading, giving a little more time to reading good Christian literature in addition to the reading of the scriptures. So those are books that could be added to your reading program. But just to emphasize for those people keeping a journal, it was an indication of how serious they were about the spiritual state of their heart. It was an indication of how serious they were about their walk with God and their desire to walk with God and their desire to go on with God. What they would do in that journal is they would look back, maybe every week, every year, and as they would look back, they would want to see whether they were going backwards or going forwards with God. They wanted to know, am I spending as much time in prayer and in Bible study this year as I did last year? Am I devoting as much time, as much energy, as much effort, as much of my talents to the winning of souls this year as I did in previous years and previous times? That's the sort of questions and inquiries that they would be making. What they were really doing, brethren and sisters, was this. They were continually asking themselves the question that's before us in this text tonight. Where art thou? Where am I? They were applying it to their own heart. You think of that tonight. Where am I in the Christian life on the 13th day of December 2020? Where am I in my walk with God as this year almost draws to a close? That's the sort of question we need to ask ourselves. I put a title upon this message. We advertised it up on Facebook. A vital inquiry for this time of crisis. And so it is, brethren and sisters. It is a vital inquiry for us to ask ourselves. This question, remember, stands out in Scripture. And it stands out in Scripture for this reason. It's the very first question ever asked
in all the Bible. It's interesting to highlight the questions in the scriptures, especially the questions that God himself asked. And this is the first, so it's worthy of our consideration. You ought to mark this question in the Bible. After the fall, when God came into the Garden of Eden, in the cooler, as the margin says there, in the wind of the day, he came looking for Adam and Eve to fellowship with, as he had done before. But the Lord came with this question, calling out, crying into the garden, "Where art thou?" So it was the first question that God ever asked of man. And it shows, as it's there as the first question, it shows to us, brethren and sisters, how important it is for every believer today to ask this question and to make this inquiry. Where art thou? I'd like you just to ponder that. I pray the Lord will write it on your heart. Where are you today? Where are you today in your walk with God? Where are you as far as your spiritual condition, the spiritual state of your heart is? Where are you as another year almost draws to a close? A very challenging year that it has been. Where are you in the Christian life at the end of 2020? That's a vital consideration, brethren and sisters. Following on from the example of our forefathers, those that kept those journals to keep a track, as it were, keep a record of the state of their heart. It's a vital consideration for us at this time, because there's not a doubt the Lord is speaking through these circumstances. You read down through Amos chapter 4, the Lord sent famine upon the land. He sent pestilence. In fact, it even says that he overthrew some of the cities the same way he had overthrown Sodom and Gomorrah. I think that's a very interesting reference. Sodom and Gomorrah was repeated according to the prophet Amos. He caused it to rain upon one city and not to rain upon another. It's a clear indication, all this talk about climate change. God is in control, brethren and sisters, of all of those things, all of those events. He speaks very powerfully through those events for those that have ears to hear, those that have a heart to understand the speaking voice of God. So as God speaks in these days, this is a vital inquiry for us, even as the people of God, to make. Where art thou in the Christian life? And I want to suggest to you this evening some answers to that question, to this all-important question. Can I emphasize to you, first of all, say something on the subject. Is your position in the Christian life at this time one of worldliness? Can I ask you tonight? It's a pointed question, but it's a question important to consider, brethren and sisters. Can I ask you, are you what could be described as a worldly Christian? Are you neglecting the things of God? Are you giving too much time, too much effort to the things of this world? Because remember, that is a lot of talk, a lot of debate about the definition of worldliness. In essence, that's what worldliness is. When we as Christians give too much time to the things of this world and not enough focus to the things of God, to the things of that other world. Harry Ironside, the American Bible teacher, preaching on one occasion in Stockton in California, came to the close of the meeting, was closing the meeting in prayer, and in the course of his prayer he prayed, "Come, Lord Jesus." This young lady in the meeting was very angry, wasn't happy with the prayer that the preacher prayed, so much so that she actually left the meeting during the prayer. He could hear her swish round, he could hear the heels going down the aisle. As he came to the door to greet the people, she was walking up and down in the foyer. He could see that she was very unhappy, and she challenged him. She said to him, "How dare you pray like that? I don't want Jesus to come. That would break in upon all my plans." Isn't that very sad to think like that, brethren and sisters? Somebody in this meeting tonight, maybe like that, don't want the Lord to come and disturb all the plans that you're making, all the plans that you have for future days. Harry Ironside said to the young woman, Jesus is coming, whether you want it or not, dear. And that's the reality, men and women. Can I ask you to remember that tonight? The Lord Jesus is coming. And are you ready for it? Ready for the coming of Christ? The two great things, of course, we need to be ready for is Jesus coming or Jesus calling. Calling us from this scene of time. Remember Dr. Paisley's great sermon titled, Caught Up or Caught On? Which will it be for you when the Saviour comes? She was a worldly young woman. She was only interested in the things of this world. And I wonder, are you the same? The Saviour said, seek ye first the kingdom of God. Is that true? Maybe you know tonight, as you consider your own heart and ask yourself this question, that Christ doesn't have the first place in your life. In fact, you might have to confess that he doesn't have the second place either. Maybe the reality is he has no place in your life or in your plans. You know, there's times that Christian parents lament the state of their family. They say their children won't come to the meetings. They have no love for Bible reading, no love for gospel meetings. They have no interest or concern for missionary work. They're only interested in money and cars and clothes and property. And maybe you ask yourself, where did they learn that? Where did they learn to live like that? Well, could it be they learned it in the home? Learned it from your example? Learned it from following your worldly example? You see, brethren and sisters, the reality is if you're too busy with work, too busy with other mundane temporal activities, too busy to spend time with God. We emphasize a little of this morning, but too busy to spend time with God, too busy to get out to the prayer meeting, too busy to be involved in the service of Christ. If you're too busy for all those things, then you are a worldly Christian. That is the reality. This world, the things of this world, have too big a hold, too big a grip on your life and on the things that you're doing. John said in his epistle, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. It's not a challenging statement. I urge you to take heed to that warning tonight. He says, if any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. What John is saying is, if you give too much time to the things of this world, then you have to question whether you really are a believer, whether you really are a child of God at all. So, I emphasize that first of all, as you think of the question, where art thou? Is your position one of worldliness? Can I say in the second place, or ask, is your position one of wickedness? Remember Paul writing to the Corinthians. He was addressing certain problems that existed in the church there at Corinth. He said to them, therefore put away from among you that wicked person. It's not interesting. He was urging church discipline there. Someone had to be put out of the membership. Their membership suspended the privileges of membership for a time. And that was a man in the church, a man in the congregation, that was having an immoral relationship with a stepmother. Isn't that shocking? It's a clear example, a clear indication of the fact Christians can do things that are wicked. And I want you to think of that tonight. Think of the question, where art thou? And you need to ask yourself, is there something wicked, something sinful in your life? Think of King David, a man after God's own heart, but he committed adultery. And then he murdered the woman's husband. Think of what wickedness from the hands of a child of God. And it's clear, men and women, make no mistake, Christians can do things that are very wicked indeed. Even the greatest of men, even the greatest of Christians. You think of the Old Testament kings. God summed up their lives God summed up their reigns by saying one of two things. Either they had done that which was right in the sight of the Lord, or they had done that which was evil in the sight of the Lord. So which would sum up your life, your conduct at this time? As a Christian, are you doing something that's evil, something you know to be evil, in the sight of the Lord? A very famous story, Dr. F. E. Marsh, Bible teacher in America, many years ago used to tell, told it in many places. It's a story of a man in his congregation that worked in a local firm in the city. The firm made boats. They were boat builders. In that firm they used special nails, copper nails. The reason for the copper nails was that they didn't rust when the boat was put in the water. This man that we're thinking of, Dr. Marsh would tell the story about, was a member of his church, worked in this business. He was building a boat at home for his own family. It was a little project that he had on the side. And in order to help himself with the project, he would steal a few nails. Every so often, take a little handful of nails out of the box, put them into his pocket, bring them home with him. And that's how he kept the project going. He would ration, you know, in his mind. He would rationalise in his mind as he would think. Sure, the boss has plenty of nails. He'd never miss the few that I take. And then he'd think again and say, he doesn't pay me that well anyway, he's quite tight. And this helps to make up for the lack of salary that I'm paid. Those are the sort of ways that he would argue in his mind to try and justify what he was doing. And then one night, Dr. Marsh in the meeting preached on a subject that was very challenging, of the need to make restitution as a Christian for wrongs and evils that had been done. And the Lord really spoke to this man in the meeting. He was deeply troubled. Came to see Dr. Marsh afterwards. Told him the story. Told him what he'd done. The way he'd been living. He said, you know, my boss is an atheist. Doesn't believe in the things of God. He thinks we're all hypocrites. I've tried to witness to him. Tried to encourage him to come to the meeting. If I go and tell him what I had been doing, he said it will destroy my testimony. It will only confirm to him what his own thoughts about the things of God. The preacher urged upon him the need to speak to his boss, to acknowledge the wrong he had done, to put right, to pay for all the things that he had stolen. And the man wrestled with that for months. And then one night he came to the meeting and his countenance was changed. Came and saw the preacher afterwards, and he told him that he'd put things right. He'd spoken to the boss. The preacher was keen to, Dr. Marsh was keen to know, what did your boss say to you whenever you confessed what you'd been doing? He said he just looked up quietly from the desk, and he said, calling the man by name, he said, I used to think that you were just a hypocrite. But he said, if Christianity would make you come to my office and acknowledge the wrong that you have been doing and make right the wrong that you have done, he said, there must be something. There must be something in the message that's preached at that church that you belong to. Challenged the man. Dr. Marsh asked for permission to tell that story in other places. A short time later, he told the story in another meeting. And a lady came to him afterwards and she said, you know, I have some copper nails as well. Well, Dr. Marsh looked at her and said, that you're not a boat builder. No, she said, but I've borrowed books for years of my friend. She has a lot of books. And sometimes I resented that. She had the money to buy all the books that she wanted. So I just borrowed them and never returned them. So the Lord spoke to me. And he said that he told the story many times. And almost every time he told the story, someone was challenged about making restitution for a wrong that had been done. So I present that story to you tonight. May the Lord challenge it. Dr. Marsh has long since gone to glory. He being dead yet speaketh. Maybe you've been stealing. at home, at school, at work, at church. Do you remember the challenge of Paul to the Ephesian believers? He says to the Christians in that church, let him that stole steal no more. That ought not to be a mark of a Christian, of the child of God. The reality is, if there's something wicked or sinful that you're guilty of, the command of the scriptures is this: we're to turn from our wicked ways. We emphasised that a little on the video, the recording that went out on Facebook on Wednesday evening, speaking in 2 Chronicles 7:14. Turn from your wicked ways. In other words, repent of your sin. And that's what we want to plead with you to do in the meeting, even this evening. So where art thou? Is your condition one of worldliness? One of wickedness? Can I ask, is it one of waywardness? Remember that Christians are like sheep. We go astray very easily. Can I ask, is that what has happened maybe to you in your life? Gone astray? Wandered away from the Lord? Wandered away from his will? Some of you will remember the Reverend Robert Bradford, an MP, Unionist MP, murdered by the IRA way back about 1980. He was an evangelical Methodist minister. He went to play for Sheffield Wednesday. He's a young man. Loved football, great footballer. He was picked out by one of the scouts, went across to England to play for Sheffield Wednesday. But all the while he was there, he knew he wasn't in the Lord's will. He wasn't happy, wasn't at peace. He knew he wasn't where the Lord wanted him to be. And I wonder if that's true of somebody in the meeting tonight. You know you're not in the Lord's will, not in the centre of his will for your life. John Bunyan, in his great allegory, Pilgrim's Progress, tells how Pilgrim wandered in the bypath meadow. And maybe that's where someone in this service finds themselves tonight. You know you're saved, you know you're a Christian, but you'd have to admit you've gotten away from the Lord. Today you're backslidden out of the will of God. You think of those in the scriptures who got away from the Lord. We've mentioned David already, lost the joy of his salvation. Think of Peter, following the Lord afar off. Think of young John Mark. He went not with them to the work, came home from the mission field, got away from the Lord. And maybe you're the same. Can I ask you tonight, brethren and sisters, think of that question again. We're considering, where art thou? Are you reading your Bible? Reading it regularly, reading it daily? Are you praying? Times of personal prayer, praying, getting down before the Lord, getting into the closet every day, spending time with God, having the quiet time, emphasized in the message this morning. If the answer to those questions is no, if you have to say you're not, I want you to see that you're in dangerous ground, you're slipping away from the Lord. And I want to warn you that that's a dangerous place. A dangerous place for any Christian to be. You think of a ship, whenever it gets off course, it's in danger of hitting the rocks. It's in danger of being shipwrecked. And brethren and sisters, if you have gone astray, if you're wayward tonight, that's the great danger that you're in, the great danger that you face. Paul said to young Timothy, holding faith and a good conscience, which some having put away concerning faith have made shipwreck. What a warning that is. You can make shipwreck of the things of God. Make shipwreck of your life. You can make shipwreck in the Christian life. And we want to sound that warning, brethren and sisters, in the meeting tonight. One other thing I'll emphasize. We've thought of worldliness and wickedness and waywardness. Where art thou? Is it one of wastefulness? There was a minister, on one occasion, he was interviewing a man that had applied for membership at the church, speaking to him, all that was involved in membership. The minister said to the man, one thing you need to think about very seriously and pray about is which department of the church you're going to serve the Lord in. The man was a bit shocked, a little taken back. He said, I'm not interested in anything like that. Well, the minister again began to explain to him the importance of members being involved in the work, serving the Lord, using their talents. He began to list off different departments of the church that he wanted this man to consider and to pray about. And again, the man, "I'm not interested in anything like that," he said, "I just want to join." Well, the minister made it clear that it was very important for members to be serving the master. The man said, "Maybe I'll consider a few other churches before I make a final decision about membership." The minister said to him, "Well, let me tell you, you know that this congregation is known as the Church of the Saviour. Well, you're looking for the Church of the Heavenly Rest. And I pray the Lord will write that in your heart tonight, men and women. The tragedy is that too many Christians, too many church members are just like that. The church they're looking for is the Church of the Heavenly Rest. They don't want to be involved. That's not what church life is all about. It's not what the Christian life is all about. Too many Christians are idle. They're not serving. You hear the government announce unemployment figures. Would it be interesting to announce the unemployment figures for every local congregation, the number of Christians that aren't working, aren't serving, and have no thought of serving. They're wasting their time and wasting their gifts, the gifts that God Himself has bestowed upon you, not using those things to win souls and to extend the work of God in the local community. I wonder, is that true of you? Listen to these words penned by Solomon in the book of Proverbs. "He also that is slothful in his work," talking mainly there about secular work, but it holds good for spiritual work too. "He also that is slothful in his work is brother to him that is a great waster." It's not plain language. There's not a person in the meeting tonight that doesn't understand what Solomon is saying there. And notice that he doesn't just say a waster, but he says a great waster. It's a great waste, great sin to be slothful about work, brethren and sisters, especially work for God. And I want you to think of that tonight. That's what the Lord wants you to consider. Remember that He has given you a lot of time, a lot of years. Think of all the years that God has given you, health and strength. He has blessed you with great gifts. Every person is given a certain gift or gifts. There's not a doubt about that. He has given you health and strength. So the question is, how have you used those things? Have you wasted them? Done little? Wasted the blessings? You haven't used them in the service of Christ? You think for a moment of the end of your life. It'll be a great blessing to be able to die and looking back without any regret. And remember that you'll only be able to do that. You'll only be able to do that, brethren and sisters, if you have done what you could for the Lord in His work. What a testimony it was that the Lord gave of that woman. She hath done what she could. Wouldn't it be great to hear that from the lips of the Saviour when you stand before Him? That you did what you could while you were here, did what you could for Him. Mr. Moody said to young Torrey, he was studying at Yale University at the time, "Young man, you had better get to work for the Lord." And brethren and sisters, that's what you need to do too, while you still have time, while you still have health, while you still have opportunity. You remember the commands of Scripture where the Lord exhorts us to get into His service. "Son, go work today in my vineyard." You have been halting and holding back for years. The New Testament says we're not to neglect the gift that is in thee. So I urge you, don't neglect your gifts any longer. Put them to use. Put them to use, men and women, in the greatest work, the greatest cause that there is on earth. Put your life and your talents to work in the cause of the gospel. So where art thou? It's a good question. It's given great priority in the Scriptures because it stands there as the very first question in all the Word of God. So as 2020 comes to a close, or near to a close, Where art thou in the Christian life? Worldliness? Wickedness? Waywardness? Wastefulness? Is it one of these? To say to you, just in closing, remember that on a regular basis, shops and businesses, some of you will have experience of this in your own employment, your own business. Shops and businesses do stock taking, especially at the end of the year. They want to know the real state of business. And Christians need to do that as well, brothers and sisters. We need to take stock of where we are in the Christian life. And that's in essence what we've been doing in this meeting tonight. That is what this text is urging you to do. The question the Lord asks here, where art thou? He wants you to take stock of your spiritual state, of your walk with Him. And the challenge is, if you're not right with the Lord, then I urge you to put things right. Put things right in the meeting. Put things right even this very day. Where art thou? May the Lord bless His word to all our hearts.